You're listening to Propelling, a Microdrones podcast.
Hello, everyone. This is Mike Dziak with the Microdrones podcast. With me today is Mike Hogan. He is the Director of Sales and Customer Service for Microdrones. He's got a great background in as a geomatics engineer for the Canadian Royal Air Force. So, Mike, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, great. Thanks, Mike. It's good to be here. Good to be talking and sharing some of the stuff I have. But I think I have a unique, background coming into to business. I spent almost 22 years in the Royal Canadian Air Force. And throughout the 22 years, I was educated both as a civil engineer and as a geomatics engineer. But I guess, you know, my education's one part, but it's actually my work experience and maybe the different jobs I did in the military that kind of add up to where I'm at today. But my first piece was really working, and my first love was kind of working in the whole geomatics field and mapping for defense. And this, to me, is kind of formed the basis of my what I'm doing now. And then I had a bit of a career change, and I moved into the intelligence business within the Royal Canadian Air Force. And I spent about 8 years in different posts and different jobs. But, you know, as everybody knows, that drones are part of that. So I got good exposure and good experience on working with drones, but more specifically in developing the analytical processes and the what we do with the data collected by those drones for the Royal Canadian Air Force. So that was a big part of what I did in my career. And, you know, once I decided to leave the Royal Canadian Air Force, I was very lucky to actually take the two things I'm very interested in, obviously geomatics and drones, and then start to work for a company like Microdrones, where I can, you know, now take that experience and knowledge in the geomatics field, understanding the use of a great tools of drones and how we can provide that for professional users out there.
So it's almost as if all of your experience leading up to here prepared you uniquely for this very new type of business and new type of technology and new type of implementation. Because Microdrones, correct me if I'm wrong, but Microdrones does not delve into military work with its drones.
I think, you know, maybe everything I did led to that. I don't think anything was ever intentional. You know, I've been very fortunate in choosing certain things, and the choices I made always led to something else. So I think that was, intentional. But yes, as far as the, you know, the military business goes, I would say that a majority of our business is non-military related. We do still have some clients that we do specific work with in the military. But, you know, most of our focus is really is the civilian applications. And most of it, you know, one of our current main emphasis is in the mapping and survey industry right now. So, but even that, we're starting to see, you know, obviously that's a key component to military or police organizations that are going on. So we still do deal with those organizations.
So your ideal customer, as someone who's heading up sales for the organization, these are the guys that are out in a field with the tripods and the yellow hats and the orange vests on a construction site or a new home building or a railway project. Tell me a little bit more about who is interested or who a prospect is for what Microdrones
offers. Yeah, it's always a an evolving piece on who that client is, but I'd like to take it and present a different angle on how I look at who the ideal candidate is or the ideal people to be using these systems. And I used to when I did more in the direct sales and dealing with clients, I used to have a discussion. Because there's a lot of noise out in the drone world of people wanting to get into the business. They think they buy a drone and they can start to print money once they buy it. I haven't found the printers on the drones yet for the money side, but I'm still looking for it. Maybe that's a whole other business to go into. But what I would, you know, what I'd like to say, because I think it's applicable across the board to our customers and the people we're after, is I would say there's four barriers to entering into the the drone business, or, you know, kind of using drones. And maybe I scared away more people. But I think that if the people that we work with that pass those, you know, want to go through those barriers, I think we can have a good partnership and relationship moving forward. The first barrier I always said to people, and it was, maybe you have to remember back a few years when there was really no regulations when it came to drones. And it was very complicated to get approval to be able to fly and operate drones, you know, especially in the U.S., but most countries, it's the same kind of thing. It's a little bit more open now. But the first barrier was that kind of that legal or that barrier to get into. There's, you know, you have to do it. Now, if you look at the example of the U.S. where you have to now write a test, and now you can effectively pass that test and you can become a drone operator. And so now it's kind of regulated. But I mean, you just can't go out there and start flying. You have to understand that you're working there. So this could be a barrier for some people. And if they're not willing to go through that process, I would suggest they're not going to be successful in that business for very long. The second barrier I would say to people and say is, do you, you know, what are you going to do? Like, who is your clients that you have right now? And if they said, you know, I don't have any clients, I don't have any business, I don't have this, I want to start it, I would say this is going to be a very, very difficult path ahead for you. I think that that if you're going out there and you're going to buy a drone and you want to get into the mapping business, you're going to have a very difficult time, because really the drone is just there to help you in that business from there. The next barrier that I would say to people, and I think it's applicable, is saying you can go and collect all the data, all this data, and do it all, and you fly the drone. But flying the drone is just one aspect of it from there. It's what you're going to do with the data and the information that you collect. And if you don't have the right members of your team or right partners in that business and collecting that information to provide those results, whatever it is, then really you're not going to be successful in doing that. And I think the last barrier, maybe my order's a bit different in here, but the, one of the barriers is actually operating the drones. And this kind of is an important one, is that being able to fly and operate it safely. And drones are made to fly easily by people. So this is typically something that is less of a barrier nowadays. But, you know, people still have to realize that they're operating in three dimensions. It's a lot different than operating a car. And you have to take the same considerations that you go into in any aviation business that you're doing there. So after this discussion of saying who is, you know, is this the barriers? Are you, you know, interested, or can you do that? I it's kind of a reality check for people to say if they want to get into that business. And if I take that now and, you know, I apply it to some of the customers that we have or the clients that we want to have, I think it's the same kind of checklist that we go through. You know, we deal with a lot of mappy, a lot of surveyors and the like doing work. They want to increase their productivity. They want tools to help them to continue their work. But at the same time, do they have those? Can they go through all those different barriers to be successful in using the system from there? So I don't know if I explained to me the ideal customer, but I'm hoping that through all this, we can narrow down who is that ideal customer.
Yeah, you helped. Well, you helped us understand who it isn't. And I guess I can give up my dreams of quitting my day job and buying a drone from Best Buy and going to do some survey work, right?
Well, I think that's a good point that you make, right? Because when we deal with it all the time, is, you know, there's so many different drones out there and companies, everybody's in the business. But what's really the difference between what we classify as consumer and what we classify as professional? Historically, MicroDrone's goal is really to build drones for professionals. They've never been in that market of, you know, the toys or the consumer grade stuff, which is probably, they're great systems that are out there nowadays. It's hard to say they're not. But the question is the focus of what the company is. And MicroDrone's focus from the beginning is at that professional user. So we're not just offering a drone. What we want to offer to that professional user is a complete solution that will allow them to use that to make money, right? So they're not going to go and buy something and then try and figure out how they're going to, you know, from Best Buy, figure out how they're going to use it and how they're going to do things. We want to provide that complete solution to our users from there.
So it's much more than flying. It's much more than flying safely. It's much more than flying safely and legally. It is the deliverable that someone is from your existing customer base is willing to pay for, or to pay for the data.
Well, exactly. And I think it goes back to really, you know, there's the drone part of what I talked about with my experience, but it goes back to the geomatic side of the business. And, you know, for people that don't necessarily or aren't familiar with geomatics, it's the kind of the definition of it. It's the art and science of collecting data, processing data, analyzing that data, and then distributing that data or information to meet a specific need or requirement that's out there. And so it's a workflow, it's a process, but it always starts with a need or a requirement for something, or if you have a specific question, okay? Because you need that question answered, and then the answer that comes out at the end of that process. What happens in between is somewhat irrelevant in a sense. Most clients just want to say, I need this, and I need this answer. They're paying for the answer, not necessarily what's in between there.
So within a project, if a company were to invest in a unmanned aerial mapping system, you could conceivably have a pilot in your organization that will go out and fly the system. But behind that planning of sending the pilot out that day and deploying the system, there's someone with a geospatial or a survey background, correct?
Right. And I think that's a good kind of good discussion and a good to have, is that the underpinning, if we look at, you know, the focus of mapping, surveying, underpinning all of it is understanding of the geospatial world and a background in that. So operating the drone is just one aspect of it. You know, how you collect the data, how you process the data in order to achieve a certain result is actually the key part of it. Because if you fly, it doesn't mean anything. As you know, I used to say that in the Air Force. And I used to bug my, because I wasn't a pilot, but I used to bug my pilot friends. And we'd say, okay, well, you can go fly the airplane. But what is the goal of flying the airplane? You specifically have a task to do. So most of the tasks that we used to do in the Air Force, or flights we do in the Air Force, they had a specific task to do it. And if we look on the intelligence side, you'd have specific requirements to collect some sort of information, some sort of data from there. The way we collect it just happens to be with an airplane from there. But the realistically, the flying of it, which is maybe the sexy part everybody sees, is somewhat irrelevant in a sense from there. It's more about the complete solution. And part of that solution, and it's another part I always discuss with people, is that I say, you can buy a system from us and you say, this expensive, this is a big investment that I'm going to make on hardware, on capital. And I always say, listen, this is your least expensive investment. If you want to be successful in this business using these tools, your investment is in your people. Your investment is in your human resources. The people that are going to operate these systems safely, the people that are going to take the information collected by those systems and produce something useful from it. That's actually your biggest investment in the whole piece.
So people still matter. I mean, I can't, this isn't like I can buy a couple drones and reduce my staff.
I think this is a common conception. And I think the way to look at the drones, you know, especially if you're and it is, it may increase your productivity to do something, to collect something, to collect different things more often, but it doesn't, you know, it still requires a human being in there to do it. There's no, you know, will it get back? I think there are. I think we're making things easier, but in the end of the day, having the right people in the loop of it is still key to it. Now, can you be more efficient or more effective in your data collection? 100%. And that's kind of a shift in it, right? That you actually with UAVs, you know, especially small ones that most people use, the professional ones that people use or that people can take out to the, that you are actually able to collect information in a different way that you, you know, maybe you have to even use an airplane or a helicopter,
mm-hmm.
right? So now you actually have another tool in your tool belt to use it, but it doesn't necessarily replace people, right? In some instances, it may actually make you add more people to your organization to produce that. But theoretically, you're also, you know, you're producing different products, you're producing different information, different results to your clients.
Things that people may want to pay more money for or
can be sold
to a wider audience. Got it.
100%. Yeah.
How have you gone about developing a sales team for this very niche technology? You know, you can't just put an ad out and there's people that are experienced in geomatics and aviation. Are there certain characteristics or experience or things that are transferable from other industries that you kind of look for?
Well, I think, you know, maybe it's planned or not planned. And but I think, you know, when we look at our sales team, it's really a mixture of actually those industries. And we look at kind of the structure of who we have. You know, there's the people that have that technical engineering background that, you know, maybe the geomatics side that are a natural fit into it. But we also have like the pilots, the people, the aviators that are in that same perspective that bring a whole nother piece to it. But I think that the from the sales perspective, the sales force, really what's important is to identify the niche you're going after and have the people that understand that market space. The understanding the drone, how the drones can fit into it is somewhat easy. Understanding how the different markets work, the different, you know, oil and gas, understanding how that works is probably more important, for example, than it. So it really depends on what you're going to attack and go after is being able to understand the business.
And regardless of which market you're going into or which technology you're presenting, there's probably a big focus on training, and finding people that can teach.
Yeah, for sure. And it's a constant, you know, it's something that we look at MicroDrones is really what are we trying to do? And I think that we look at it as a continual education process for our clients. I've had great discussions with some of my colleagues about this and kind of where, you know, what drones have done. It's really, you know, made geospatial data more accessible. Where in the past, you used to have the professionals, the people that understand that, working and using that. But now, anyone that can go out and buy a drone and fly a drone becomes a geospatial expert to some extent. So what we need to do is be better at educating and the continuous education on what are the important things of producing professional, consistent results. So it's constant. Like it's like the example, it's like the wild, wild west almost right now. But, you know, to be able to sort out what's good and bad, but we continue that education of our future customers, and I think our competitors to some extent are learned from us for sure.
And where do you see the industry going besides, you know, changing pretty quickly and evolving? But in the next year, 2 years, 5 years, what's on the horizon? Excuse the pun.
No problems.
You don't have to laugh at that.
No, it's good. There's a lot of puns, I guess, in this business. You know, it's, you know, people always say it's kind of the sky's the limit, right? But I really think, you know, we have to look at what are the industries out there that are doing things. We see the delivery. I think there's definitely a part for delivery, especially when companies are investing in it. But like, it's not just about drones or automation of drones in that perspective. It's like the kind of the complete automation of vehicles in that whole part. You know, and I'm not a big, you know, saying, hey, this is going to revolutionize everything. I try and look at it more like, how can these tools be better used within the existing businesses or processes to improve things. And I think that that's a big one. But I would also look at it from a perspective of it will depend on the regulations of how and how we regulate and where drones can operate. And this is a huge part of where it goes. It will push it. The other one I think is making drones better from be able to operate for longer periods of time and longer distances from there. So I'm not a big kind of future guy. This is going to be you see reports out there. There's $21 billion worth of this and that. I think we continue to focus on the niche activities, the business that manned aviation has been successful with, and really we will be successful in that area.
Do you see it being sort of commonplace at some future point that when you see, or maybe before you see big heavy construction equipment out moving earth, that a drone is a part of that team, or an integrated drone package is a part of that toolkit?
For sure. And I think it's there already. You start to see it more and more, as part of those construction processes and all phases of construction, that they're being used, either be it for the engineers and, gathering the data they need for planning, to doing as-built after the site is done. So you can update your drawings for legal purposes or for cities to manage their GIS. And I think it's already being done. I think I still think we're in the early adopter stage of drones. I still really think it's still going to be it will become commonplace to see it. And the regulations are going to support that also, because there's still limitations in some places that you can operate systems. But I think, we're already there. We're already going in that direction.
Very good. What about your work keeps you up at night?
That's a good question. I deal all over the world, so I'm up all night anyways, dealing all over the world. But I think the biggest thing that keeps me up at night is making sure that we continue that education of our clients and our future clients, to make sure that, people don't just look at us as hey, this is magic and you push this button and then everything is going to work. We want to make sure that the products we're producing, the products we're selling, the products that our clients are using are successful, and that they can continue to be successful, make money using them. Mm-hmm. So I think that comes always back to education and expectation management. So I think that, the subset of that is actually having the right people in place. So it's always a challenge and to do it, but that's a big one, is making sure that MicroDrone's team is staffed and managed correctly from there.
Now, Mike, if I come from outside the geospatial and aviation industries, but if I understand correctly, at least in North America, there's a shortage of young people studying geomatics in school. Do you think that some of these new technologies will get more people interested, more young people thinking about that line of work, and hopefully build a good population of future employees?
I hope so. Shortage across the board for a lot of the areas, but I hope so. I really, I think back to when I was, what excited me about it. And, if you were to tell me that we could use drones to do survey work, I would have signed up right away for that. But it definitely does have that appeal still in it. And I'm hoping that it does, that people take it on. And, the drones are everywhere. And kids are flying them. My kids have them, and they use it. So I'm hoping that the drones really pushes into the mapping world, but maybe any kind of the development of systems, the improvement of systems, the design of those drones, which is a key part for our business to do it. But yeah, I hope so. I hope it does.
And is there anything that we talk about? What keeps you up at night, and what kind of opportunities are out there? What excites you most about the future in this industry?
I think the part that excites me the most is the potential of what we can do with the drones. I think the other part is making geospatial data more accessible to people. And we're kind of getting there with drones, with, you know, with the what's going on. But, you know, if we look traditionally at how data, how we got information, and I've been around long enough that, you know, I've seen the first commercial satellites that came out in the late 90s, early 2000s, where you could get, you know, meter resolution of satellite imagery. And that was really, really exciting. But, you know, not everybody, you know, you're lucky if you get one scene and you can use that. But you have to spend a lot of money. Maybe it's less nowadays to get that information. I'm also, you know, earlier in my career, I worked with manned aviation, you know, collecting photogrammetry, actually images where they scanned in to do it. Where projects of mapping, you know, large areas, of course, would take 6 months to plan, execute, and then deliver those final products, whatever they may be. So this, you know, what I talk about there, and even now if you look at manned aviation, the cost to have an airplane take off to do business for you might be $10,000 just for the airplane to take off, mm-hmm. not talk about the products. So I think what I'm talk about accessibility to your geospatial data is that now with the tool like a drone, the actually people, professional surveyors, mappers, service providers can collect data now, this afternoon, tomorrow morning. You know, it's really open to them on how and when they can collect that to do it. And you're not reliant upon weather, clouds, satellite time, all these things that go into it. I think that this is really the shift, the paradigm shift is accessibility to your geospatial data is really what I'm excited about in it. And it goes back to, you know, part of my military experience is every place we went to, there was never a map of that area. So it's kind of like that. It's always like that in the geospatial world. If you are going to do something, you try and find the data you need for that area, it's probably out of date or it doesn't exist, mm-hmm. even with all the different things we have. But now we have a tool that and processes that will allow us to get that. So that to me is really exciting.
Mike, folks are listening to this podcast. What if they're interested in learning more? Is there?
I think the easiest way to get a hold of us is to visit our website. There's all kinds of things to check out there. Everybody likes the internet nowadays, but there's because we have access. You click on the links that will take you to contact us, and we will put you in contact with the right representative from your area to discuss your requirements and to discuss drones.
Pretty much anywhere in the world, we can right?
Right now we have presence all over the world, and so the easiest and best way is to visit us at www.microdrones.com and go from there.
Very good. Well, thanks again, Mike. We appreciate your time, and you have a great day.
Thank you for your time. Have a good day.
Propelling, a Microdrones podcast.